better come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be raining out.
Come over here, kid. Where's up? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of oil. You fry some garlic.
It's
and you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. And you gotta do a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. And a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
Potatoes, yeah. I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry, stay hungry, stay hungry.
You want some more?
And good evening. Welcome to Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour. As Mike said, this is Mary Carroll. I'm sitting in for Michelle Anna Jordan, who is on a well-deserved vacation. She will be back in a couple of weeks, but for tonight, it's my pleasure to be able to present to you and discuss with them two representatives of everything you ever wanted to know about Sonoma Wine Country Weekend 2014, even if you weren't afraid to ask, because if you were, you'll find out, and if you weren't, well, you'll probably find out more than you knew otherwise. So for right now, what I'd like to do is say welcome to Sandra Bernstein, who's from The Girl and the Fig.
Hi.
And Sarah Cummings, who's the Director of Communications for Sonoma County Vintners.
Hi there. Also, I should mention, Director of Communications for Sonoma Wine Country.
Yes, indeed you should. We're glad to know that. And by all means, if there's anything that our audience should be knowing about you that they're not, feel free to chime in. This is very egalitarian. I was going to say democratic, but I think egalitarian works better.
Let's come up with that.
That's right. Let's stick with egalitarian. Well, we were talking a little bit before the show started about what types of things, you know, the audience might want to know. And I think, speaking for myself as a representative of somebody who knows actually very little about it, how exactly did the Wine Country Weekend come to be? What was the origin?
Gosh, why don't we just start with the basics of what it is and when it is?
That
and
works,
then
too.
We can kind of talk about the history, because it actually is kind of an interesting
merge. Hard to know where it came from if you don't know where it is, right?
Right. Kind of. Yeah, chicken, egg, I'm not sure. Anyway, it is Labor Day weekend. It's a three-day series of events that take place throughout the 16 wine regions of Sonoma County. There are three big events to know about, and then they're around them are filled in with smaller events. So the big events that we all need to know about, Friday night going into Labor Day weekend, Sonoma Starlight at Francis Ford Coppola Winery. Mm-hmm. Sandra is actually the featured chef that night, so she can tell us more about what she's cooking that evening. But that is a really wonderful kind of al fresco evening around the pool. It's harvest weather. There's usually a big, beautiful moon, and you rarely get to go to beautiful Francis Ford Coppola Winery, which is like a castle, you know, outside with so much going on. So it's a real treat. Saturday, probably our most well-known event, is the Taste of Sonoma at McMurray Estate Vineyard. It used to be called McMurray Ranch. They've gone through a name change this year. But
still fine people, still same place.
Yes, fine people, same place. Kate McMurray, still the hostess that Mike was mentioning earlier. And that's about 200 of Sonoma County's wineries coming together, 60 chefs,
oh my,
all bringing their best and brightest for a beautiful day at this very special property of tasting, education, all kinds of things. Then the grand finale of the weekend is the Sonoma Harvest Wine Auction, and that takes place at Chateau St. Jean Winery in Sonoma Valley. And that has about probably 600 people under the tent. And the whole event, we can talk about later, is to raise funds for all Sonoma County local charities. But that's the day when people are actually raising their paddle and sort of making the big pledges to making a better future for all of us in our community.
That's great. Yes. Sandra?
Yeah, very exciting. Last year, I was very involved in all the events, and it was a lot of fun, a lot of hard work. And actually, for as many years as I can think of, we have been a part of the Labor Day weekend somehow. It's definitely, I should say, a little bit of controversy because it is all of our most busy weekend of the year.
Timing couldn't be worse.
I don't think we asked all the chefs and restaurateurs and caterers about if that weekend was good.
Yeah, but I mean, it's interesting because it is harvest and it is like that wonderful time of year when you want visitors to come. You want to offer like the best of Sonoma and you want to have these events and people are traveling. And what was interesting, and I don't remember what year it happened, but Sonoma County in Healdsburg, and there were events going on from Sonoma County Tourism and the Sonoma Vintners Association. And at the same time, Sonoma Valley Vintners and Growers, we were doing events in Sonoma. We would have the auction at Sonoma Mission Inn, and they were much smaller events. We would do our dinners at the wineries in Sonoma, and there were being dinners happening all over in Russian River Valley and Dry Creek. And I think that the two organizations decided to come together and said, wow, why are we competing against each other the same weekends? Why don't we combine and, you know, bring it together?
Make it bigger and better.
Make it bigger and better. And
make it easier for people to decide what they're going to.
Yeah.
And that actually started in 2008.
In 2008. So that's what's happened. And, you know, last year was really a labor of love. They raised over $1.8 million at the auction. Was certainly the most that we've ever raised. And what brought it full circle for me, which I have to say, is that it was hard work pulling the auction as far as the cooking, which is just a drop in the hat compared to everything that you have to do.
But for the person who's doing it, it's a lot of work.
Exactly. And, you know, I just help coordinate and write menus and whatever. But I was asked to come back and sit on the grant panel when they were figuring out where to give the money. And that was so rewarding to see who needed the money, what the money was going to be used for, how these nonprofits wrote the grants, where it was going to be used. And it really took this elaborate partying kind of excessive nature of wine country lifestyle and turned it into something that was really pretty meaningful. And I think it gave me a new light about really what it takes. And I even think about even Taste of Sonoma on Saturday, where it is such an incredible event. It's really, even though I haven't participated the last couple of years because
keep it a little busy.
Yeah.
It's a little busy. It's hard to do Friday, Saturday, and Sunday without major
meltdown.
Yeah.
Or narcotics.
Stimulants.
And exactly. Right. And, you know, but it's such a fabulous event. And it is a little pricey if you don't work for a winery and you can't actually be there working. But how many volunteers does it take?
400 volunteers.
Great way for a local to get to see that event
and
if you don't want to.
And to
be there and to see what it's like. So
that's a great
point. Yeah, I do think that you're able to go and to see it, whether you're going to pay and drink all day or you're going to get to be, you know, elbow to elbow with the people that are making it happen.
And also, just from what you're saying, you know, I've never seen any large event that didn't depend on 3 zillion volunteers.
Yes.
And what happens is that these people who perhaps might have been a part of the contingent that said wine country party lifestyle and so forth, they volunteer for something like this and they see up close that it's not about partying and it's not about excess and it's not about, you know, bacchanalia. It's about being part of the community and helping to make that work. And every single volunteer helps to make it work.
Exactly. Right?
I mean, I've worked with enough nonprofits and, mm-hmm. and nonprofit events to know that, yeah, if you don't have volunteers who are reliable and committed and are there, it's not possible.
Absolutely.
Absolutely could not happen without the volunteers. No. Well, that is for sure.
This is probably as good a time as any to ask, how does one volunteer, or is it all taken care of for this year?
You know what? I'm sure they're probably still taking names. You can email volunteer@SonomaWineCountryWeekend.com, or if you go to our website, SonomaWineCountryWeekend.com, there's a volunteer button you can push, and we have a wonderful coordinator who will get right back to you and see what kind of job you'd like and hopefully help you find a spot.
And I would imagine they probably have different categories of tasks that they need help with. And
correct.
So they match people with their skills.
And
yeah, mm-hmm. that's true.
And
do you want to do one event? Do you want to do three? You know, just all kinds of flexibility there.
That's a great idea. And of course, as you were talking about being on the grant panel, which is a rewarding thing. I mean, let's face it, everybody loves giving away money, right?
Exactly.
I mean,
when it's not yours.
Right, exactly. Can you tell me a little bit about what the process is, what the criteria are, how do people apply, or is it no applications accepted? Is people just go out and find them?
No. I think as the years have gone by, it's gotten really more specific, and they have very detailed criteria, and such that I couldn't tell you verbatim what the questions are, but they need to submit financials and how they're going to make things happen, how they are going to judge and, actually be able to prove what they're doing and to be able to show how they use the money and how it's working. They have to really be able to demonstrate that they're doing the things and
that they said they were going to do in their application.
Exactly. And a lot of the people, and I was able to see the people that put in their grants for the year before and, really compare what they did the year before to those that a lot of them applied again, you know, and you could see what they did. And, the one of the things that I think was interesting for me, and I still think about today, is that a lot of people looking for $15,000, I want to do a food program and I want to help, people have a lunch in summer, or I want to teach the Boys and Girls Club how to farm, or I want to, help fish with meals, or a lot of food, or a lot of farming, or a lot of kids with health issues. And, $10,000 here, $5,000 here, $15,000, really, I kind of feel like it needs to be $100,000 under a larger
umbrella organization.
A real organization, because then you can pay administration fees for one organization and kind of really have that real strong arm that you can subdivide and kind of. But anyway, that's a whole nother radio show. That's the Republican or Democratic or whatever it is.
Yeah, and I also wanted to add the focus charities of Sonoma Wine Country Weekend are children-related causes, literacy, specifically children's literacy, and then the environment and health.
And they're huge issues. Lake.
And those are all actually pretty interconnected.
Yeah,
I mean, if you look at the Sonoma County Health Action Plan, those are all some of their deliverables, is the illiteracy rate and the health of the community.
Yep.
And, part of it obviously is providing lunch for kids who wouldn't otherwise have it.
Right.
Food insecurity overall. Mm-hmm. I figured that when you start talking about providing lunch for kids and teaching kids to farm, that children would be an important part of the focus, which makes sense.
Over 43 charities received grants last year, ranging from several thousand dollars all the way up for our children's literacy, which is called Fund the Future. It's a separate kind of focused piece we have in addition to our community grants. Over $750,000 was given out to three charities, all focused on different parts of health needs. And at the way things have spanned this year, we touch over 40,000 people in Sonoma County through all the charities we serve and then how many they all serve, and literally in every community across Sonoma County from top to bottom and east to west.
It really is amazing.
Which it's actually, amazing. I mean, for people who don't live in the county, they might not quite understand or grasp the magnitude. But given the fact that there are only 9 incorporated cities in Sonoma County, who knows how many unincorporated, what do they call them, census-defined population, I think is what the feds refer to them as. Read, town, neighborhood, borough, whatever. I have to say, when I was reading over the description, one of the things that caught my eye, being a I won't say a foodaholic, but certainly a food is a subject of interest to me, shall we say. The Sonoma Steel Chef Competition. Yeah. That is such a great name. What exactly is it and how does it work?
Well, I guess it's probably based on Iron Chef to some extent.
Oh, that would make sense, yeah.
But there are 3 rounds. There are 2 chefs that compete in round 1 and 2 chefs that compete in round 2. And then the winners of round 1 and 2 play off in round 3. And these are half-hour rounds at, I believe, it's 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock. So the event runs from 11 to 4. But I'm amazed how many people with all those chefs and wines stop what they're doing to come watch this show.
Wow.
At the big kitchen stage.
Well,
we have
part of it is Clark Wolf, an MC. The humor and Marcy Smothers. Yep. I don't know if she's doing it again this year.
This year, actually, we have a little switch out, and because we have Food and Wine Magazine as a sponsor,
fabulous.
Ray Isle, the wine editor, and then Leslie Sabracco from Check Please
fabulous.
Bay Area, are going to do it, and then we're going to have Clark and Marcy doing some other things.
Okay, I was a judge 1 year, and. I thought it was such a great honor to be a judge, and then, frankly, I was miserable because all the competitors were friends, and I had a really hard time.
I couldn't. That's a tough decision to be in.
I know, and I just was like,
slide away and not answer.
I mean, I can say right now because it's so long; it's a few years now, but I had to make a deal with another judge to make a tie. because
the statute of limitations is expired.
I know, exactly. Yeah. I couldn't
so
do it.
Walk
I couldn't
down the streets of Sonoma.
We made a deal, and we tied. We made a tie. So, yeah. But,
amazing.
It's fun. And, you know, actually, John Toolsey, who is the executive chef of The Girl and the Fig, he did it a couple years, and he was like, please don't make me do it again. You know, the stress of it, it's such a, and, you know, when people watch those kind of shows on TV, it's such an unrealistic scenario, you know. Everything that can go wrong does go wrong. You know,
you open your pantry basket, which is all selected out of local ingredients by Michael Salinger and the Santa Rosa Junior College Culinary Program, by the way.
Yes.
He plays a huge role in behind the scenes.
And I should say also that, you know, when we talk about volunteers, he lets his students come for the Taste of Sonoma Day, and they are volunteers all over the place. Yeah. So they get to work with the chefs at the booths. They get to work at the stage and all over the place. And they get to really see behind the scenes.
Speaking of volunteers.
Yeah, exactly.
So let me make sure I understand this. The market basket, or what was it you called it?
Yeah, pantry.
Pantry basket.
There's a pantry and a basket of the ingredients for that course.
But basically what happens
is... This is what
you've got. Figure out what you're going to make.
Yeah, these are your proteins and, you know, your any specific things that have to be in the dishes. And boom goes the timer.
Yeah, so it's like, actually, it's like a combination of Chopped and Iron Chef.
It is. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And now in the last few years, I don't know if it was there when you were judging that year, Sandra, but there's a wine component too.
Oh.
So they have to pair the dishes they're making to a wine. And so when they're being judged now, in addition to appearance and flavor and presentation, blah, 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 wine pairing is part
I was
of the
first thinking, okay,
equation.
This sounds like the culinary equivalent of a car rally, but it's a whole lot more complicated than that.
Exactly. Yeah,
but it's a lot of fun.
In light of the fact that we've been talking about wine and we've been talking about Sonoma County and benefiting Sonoma County, we're going to take a little bit of music break. And what we're going to feature is a gentleman who unfortunately is no longer with us, but for a long time broadcast a show out of Sebastopol and was a well-loved figure in the county singing about wine. This is Johnny Otis.
All right.
Take it away, Mike.
And I do have to say it's incredibly simple to sign up as a volunteer. I did it after they gave the website on the air, so I've just signed up.
All right.
Down in New drinking that wine, drinking that mess till the broad daylight. When they get high, they're gonna fight all night. Drinking wine, sporty, odie, drinking wine, wine. Let's get together and get some wine. Some by the fifth, some by the pint. And when you're by the quart, you're doing the thing smart. Drinking wine, sporty, odie, drinking wine. Wine, wine. Wine, sporty, odie, drinking wine. Wine, wine. Wine, sporty, odie, pass that bottle to me. Hey. Wine, wine, wine.
Port cherry.
Wine, wine, wine.
Blackberry.
Wine. You lose your money and you lose your mind if you drink too much of that old man wine. Drinking wine, sporty, odie, drinking wine,
wine, wine.
Wine, sporty, odie, drinking wine,
wine, wine.
Wine, sporty, odie, pass that bottle to me. Wine, wine, wine.
Poking sherry.
Wine, wine, wine. Wine.
Blackberry.
Wine, wine, wine.
Elderberry.
Wine, wine, wine.
Raspberry.
Wine, sporty, odie.
Look here, y'all. I got a bunch of pennies with me. I got the counter.
I got some food stamps.
Hey, look here, man. Get that dime up down there.
The what?
That dime on the sidewalk right there.
That ain't no dime, man. That's spit.
All I got is about 14 cents.
Well, that's enough. We can get a show, dog.
We need to get Sherry. Sherry, not
I like that red.
That was Johnny Otis with Drinkin' Wine, Spody Odie. That sort of properly emphasizes the bacchanalian aspect of wine drinking, but we got in light of the fact that he was local and we are talking about local events with local people, that was probably an appropriate musical interlude. You're listening to Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour. I'm Mary Carroll, sitting in for Michelle Anna Jordan, and this evening our guests are Sandra Bernstein from The Girl and the Fig, and Sarah Cummings, who is not only the Director of Communications for Sonoma County Vintners, but for Wine Country Weekend. Did I get that right?
You sure did.
Thank oh, good.
You. Gosh.
And speaking about Sonoma Valley Vintners and Growers, which I understand is an intrinsic part of this organization, mm-hmm. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what they are, what they do, and how they fit in?
Okay. I should have mentioned that in the beginning. Sonoma Valley Vintners and Growers and Sonoma County Vintners.
Right.
Literally 50-50 collaborate to put this on together.
I would think.
Yeah. And Sonoma Valley actually has about 20 years of heritage. They brought the amazing auction to the table that started on Labor Day weekend 20 years ago. And it features usually a theme and people dressing up in costumes. And it definitely breaks kind of the rules of what a wine auction has been like over the years.
It's staid, stuffy.
Yes, exactly.
Serious.
It's not always proper, I guess we'll say. Yeah. So that's continued to evolve in a really great direction. We've actually really worked to work on the fundraising element of it. But Sonoma Valley Vintners and Growers Alliance, gosh, I think they have, I don't even know how many wineries they have. I'm obviously with the county, but it's vintners and growers working together, and they're probably one of the strongest regional associations we have. They do a lot of great work to promote the region. They work hand in hand too with the Sonoma Valley Visitors Bureau.
Right.
And, you know, print maps and bring concierges up, and they've been working on a brand new website, SonomaValleyWine.com. They've got all kinds of great marketing they do to promote the region and all the wines. And they have a new tagline that I really think sums things up so well. The roots run deep. Lots of multi-generational families there. The heart of Sonoma County's winemaking started with the first commercial winery, Buena Vista, in 1857. That's located in Sonoma.
Right.
So they've got a lot of honors they can claim for sure.
What I like about it is it's a positive slogan. It's not negative. Like, well, I'm sure this was somewhat facetious, but I was once told that was it Napa's for auto parts, yeah. Sonoma's for wine. Yeah,
yeah. No, we don't say that ever.
No, this is more about here's who we are, here's who we do. And,
right.
And so what I'm hearing is that the Alliance is the trade organization that works to not just support its members, but to foster the industry and work with the, you know, like you said, the Chambers of Commerce and the
right.
Turf Bureau.
Absolutely.
And then the foundation is the fundraising arm.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And the Sonoma Vintners side, Sonoma County Vintners side, has a very similar setup. We're basically an education, you know, marketing organization. We talk to sommeliers and media and knowledgeable consumers all over the world about Sonoma County as a wine region, why it's a world-class wine region, educate people on understanding how we can make so many great wines here because we have warm areas and cool areas and amazing fog and Pacific coastline. You know, most regions can't do a Cabernet well and a Pinot Noir well, and how we can do that is because we have such diversity of our topography and fog patterns and climate.
Was there always this kind? I'm sorry, Sandra, you look like you were going to say something.
No, I'm just... I'm just
taking
admiring how lucky we are, really.
We are. We're very lucky to be here, that is for sure.
Well, actually, my next question is sort of pointed towards your field of expertise, and that is the food part. At what point, was it always a wine and food combine, or was that an afterthought, or was the wine an afterthought?
Gosh, I think it's always involved our chefs, because it really is one big community. And... You know, we obviously start with our world-class wines, but right. One thing that makes another thing that makes Sonoma County so unique, in addition to our breadth of wines we produce well, is that we have so many amazing farms here still. We are not a monoculture. We have people growing all manner of produce, raising animals, and now beer and everything
else.
It's lifestyle, and it all goes together. And then the community, you know, the grower community, the people that are growing things, and the grape growers, and the chefs who come here to use these amazing ingredients that pair so well with the wine from here. You know, it's sort of one big world. So I believe it's always had a history of all being hand in hand. Of course, we lead with the wine because we're wine organizations first.
Well, really, we lead with the food. And we need something to wash it down, so we just get a swill of something.
Well, back to the chicken and eggs.
Right, exactly. Well, the Girl in the Fig is actually turning 17 this summer.
Really?
And so, yes, I came up here from L.A. and came on vacation and came to check it out. And living in L.A., had never been up in wine country, and went to a few farmers markets and went to I was with a boyfriend who wanted to go to a few pubs, and that was what he was into. And I think we were here when the Cloverdale Citrus Fair was happening, and I was blown away. I was like, wow, if I'm going to be in the food business, I think this is where I need to be. 3 months later, we packed up everything we owned and we moved here.
Wow.
I got Sonoma and he got a different state or country or whatever. But I haven't left. I mean, and talk about the roots run deep. I mean, I'm from Philadelphia, but I really feel like I am part of Sonoma, and this is my home. And, you know, we farm 3.5 acres. You know, we make, you know, we do a wine with another winemaker that we do every year. Very connected with the community, want to participate with all the wonderful events that we do. And I think the wine is, you know, it is historical. It is absolutely what brings our visitors here to the area. But it can't be one-dimensional. It can't just be about the wine. It can't just be about the food. It has to be a marriage. And it has to be, it's the lifestyle. It's just about what makes it, you know, really fun.
And for sure. A lot of regions have great wine, but they may not have the food culture we have.
Right.
It's pretty unusual to find all these things in one place, even on a global scale. We may think, oh yeah, sure. But
right.
Think about it. You can't find even another wine region in California or
Well, there's also such
or
an
America
emphasis
that has
on farm to table.
Balance,
right? I mean, there may be a lot of places that have farms, you know, like large agribusiness, but
right.
I don't think there's as much of an emphasis on farm to table along with beverage. And speaking of beverage, that was something that was occurring to me as I was listening to both of you talking about the food and the wine. We've been talking about grapes. Are there any, I'm sure there are someplace, are wines made from anything other than grapes featured in this weekend, or is it all grape wines?
I think it's all grape wines.
Because I know that there are wines that are made from other things, you know, strawberries, apples, rhubarb.
Purists
that way. Okay. Yeah. There
all of which are Sonoma crops, which is why I was asking.
There could be a hard cider, and I know several of our great craft beers will be there. Pouring and Limoncello will be there. Hello, Cello. Limoncello from Sonoma will be there. But mainly our craft beers and wine. And wine, grape, wine.
Well, the reason I was asking is because there has been, occasionally there have been some distress expressed about the elimination of different crops. As you mentioned, it's not a monoculture.
No.
But like, for example, we were driving through Sebastopol today, and my husband was pointing out that there used to be considerably more apple orchards than there are now. Mm-hmm. I mean, and of course, the only reason isn't because grapevines came in and took over. There are a lot of reasons for it.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, much of the area that used to be used to cultivate apples is now used to cultivate grapes.
Right. But there's a nice cider resurgence coming.
Yes.
That's true.
Which is great.
Very
the hard
exciting.
Cider is going to be very good for the apple orchards we do have, because it really all comes down to global economics. Mm-hmm. And I think in the years, even in Washington State and things, that American apple crops have thrived. Now it's global. It's really kind of interesting what's happened. But
everything cycles. When we started, there were such small amounts of Rhone varietals planted. Mm-hmm. We only carry Rhone varietals in the restaurant for very different many reasons. But
maybe we should run through what the Rhone varietals are so people
like
know.
Syrah, Grenache, Mourvèdre, Viognier, Marsan Roussan, and pretty much there's 23 specific Rhone varietals
those
that
are
go
the big
into
ones.
Those
yeah.
are the big ones. And there was hardly any when we got here. And they're wines that I've always felt that are very food friendly, not very unsimilar to when Pinot Noir was brought over from Burgundy. Years and years ago, it was called Burgundy in France. It's called Pinot Noir here. The same as, it's called Rhone in France, and it's called, Grenache or Syrah here. But at any rate, I love it. It's food friendly, low acid, just really good food wines. Anyway, searching and searching for these wines, couldn't find them. 4 years later, the market was inundated. Mm-hmm. Too much Syrah, as kind of when Merlot, when there was too much Merlot.
Uh-huh.
And now people are ripping out their Syrah vineyards, replanting with other things, and it's like cycles. People had gotten rid of all these apple orchards, and now they're, trying to replenish, and look at where they can get their apples back.
Mm-hmm.
So I see this all over.
Well, and of course, Sonoma County's agricultural history was plums and prunes before that, and sometimes hops and other things too. But it is interesting. You can ask just about anybody in Sonoma County if they know what percentage of our county is planted to vineyards, and people will guess crazy numbers.
Right. 85% or something. Yeah.
6%. Only 6% of Sonoma County is planted to grapes.
I would not have guessed
that. Our county is a little over 1 million acres. It's the size of Rhode Island. And 60,000 acres are planted to grapes.
But what percentage of agricultural land is in grapes?
I would say the majority, but there's also, it depends on how you count agriculture, because about 50% is rangelands and
grazing,
forests
pastures,
and grazing. And so, there's a lot of different ways to count it.
That's a good point. So what we're talking about is not the area that's been redeployed for housing and that sort of thing, right?
9% of our county is under housing and residential in cities.
Wow.
Now, one of the things that occurs to me is that this seems to be so much of an inclusive event. I mean, you're obviously not trying to appeal to just the upscale, money notwithstanding. I mean, you'll always take donations and so forth, but it really is an effort to involve everybody. It is a community event. Just as a question, What types of beverages are there provided by some of these wineries for people who do not drink alcohol for one reason or another? I know that recently there's been, you know, an emphasis on non-alcoholic sparkling wines and non-alcoholic beer and so on.
Yeah, it's, I would say, you know, every winery tasting room will have something for designated drivers and things. And
that's
that
can
range
know.
From, you know, sparkling water or just regular water
to
beer
juice.
We
don't want anybody to come. If they're not drinking, yeah. don't waste your money. Yeah. You're going to have a miserable time.
Most people at Taste of Sonoma, especially. Most
kidding.
People there, you know, are wine connoisseurs, and they're really there to discover new wineries that they want to start a relationship with. Or they want to figure out what their favorite Chardonnay is in Sonoma County, or, you know, whatever their mission is that day. But we do have kombuchas. We have all kinds of other things available.
That's true.
But it you know, and coffee and things like that.
And
but
interestingly, you know, at Starlight, the Friday night event, because not only, that's a good question, but we also have to deal with gluten-free,
right.
vegetarian,
Vegan, yeah. Mm-hmm. And many people who don't understand the difference.
Right. And our food, for sure, is...
don't forget non-dairy.
Non-dairy. Yeah.
There's some challenges.
We have a little bit of everything. So if someone is gluten-free, they will be able to pick and choose what they can have. If they're vegetarian, they can pick and choose what they're going to eat. We have a little bit of everything, and it's set up as stations, buffets, so they're able to do that. And the people that are going to have the best time are the ones that are going to be able to have our house-made salumi, where they can have copa and salami and our rillettes and pâté.
Sarah's smiling with the reminiscence.
Yes, I'm remembering it from last year. It's pretty fabulous
stuff.
Pretty
decadent.
And such a beautiful
display. And then
our
pizzas and local cheeses. And Laura Chanel always donates some of their beautiful cheeses to us.
She's not even in Sonoma anymore.
Mm. Well, the cheeses are.
That's true.
Yeah. And we have pizza, and we'll have beautiful figs. So we'll do a fig pizza. We'll have crudité from the farm and lots of different dips. And so people can have just really beautiful fresh vegetables. And then we'll have grilled vegetables. We'll do whole roasted chickens and pork tenderloin, a couple different salads, and heirloom tomato. We have 500 tomato plants this year, and we've got tomatoes just growing everywhere.
Oh my gosh.
So we'll have tomatoes and beautiful feta. Our fig salad, and then we're doing little donuts for dessert with dipping sauce.
Oh my!
House made gelato. And so we've got
a
little bit for everything.
Again?
No, we're not going to do the dessert.
Nutella and banana.
We're switching with the donuts this year. Yeah.
Well, that sounds fun.
But and they have live music, and people dance if they didn't eat too much. No one got thrown in the pool.
No, nobody fell in the pool.
But
that's
it's
amazing.
It's a lovely setting.
So it's not stuffy, but it's dignified.
Yeah.
It's very, it's not stuffy at all. It's actually really, it's a casual fun party.
Mm-hmm. But I like the fact that you mentioned, and I'm sure this is the wineries, but I would imagine they're all doing it in conjunction with this, the recognition of social awareness and responsibility in providing opportunities for the designated drivers to have fun.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
We also encourage, you know, arranging transportation,
right.
know, and just having a plan, basically, in whatever form that takes for your particular group. For
the police are out.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
It's all about responsible.
Yeah, you leave Taste of Sonoma, and the police are lined up.
Yeah,
and it's really important. You got to be careful.
We try to really make the event sustainable too. So last year, for example, I'm not sure of the plan this year, but one of our sponsors handed out water bottles, and then we had water stations all over the place. So
that's
heavy water drinking is very encouraged.
Well, especially given we don't know what the weather is going to be like,
right.
but we think we can probably safely assume that it's not going to be freezing.
It's normally a warm day.
Yes.
Yeah. And some days it's blistering warm, but last year it was pretty moderate.
I don't know if we have this here, but I don't think I've seen it. But every other year we go to France in March, and we do the Rhône des Cuvertes, and it's a week-long tasting in the Rhône region, and every day you're tasting in another area, and it's their big trade event. And towards the end of the tasting, they have these big bowls of these things that you blow into to see if you are legally able to drive.
Funny.
And
I don't have those here.
Yes.
Like a bowl of whistles.
Yes, exactly.
I've heard of those too.
Yeah. And I mean, it's like really awesome. And if you turn whatever color, you do not drive. Mm-hmm.
That's a particularly good idea, since I think many people, especially after a few glasses of wine, truly don't understand.
Exactly.
And
don't know where they are.
The majority of the people that I can think of would never dream of deliberately putting anybody in danger.
Of course not.
It's unawareness.
And we try to remind people it's a tasting and to be moderate, and there's spitting
right, everywhere.
You know, it's
on palate cleansing.
And that's why food is also very important.
Yep. Everything's strong, responsible.
Yes. Well, it's a wonderful way to celebrate kind of the waning summer days. And in fact, we're going to take another music break, which has to do with days of summer and wine.
Okay.
Strawberries, cherries, and an angel's kiss in spring. My summer wine is really made from all these things.
I walked in town on silver spurs that jingled too, a song that I had only sang to just a few. She saw my silver spurs and said, let's pass some time, and I will give to you summer wine. Summer wine.
Strawberries, cherries, and an angel's kiss in spring. My summer wine is really made from all these things. Take off your silver spurs and help me pass the time, and I will give to you summer.
My eyes grew heavy and my lips, they could not speak. I tried to get up, but I couldn't find my feet. She reassured me with an unfamiliar line, and then she gave to me more summer wine. Summer wine.
Strawberries, cherries, and an angel's kiss in spring. My summer wine is really made from all these things. Take off your silver spurs and help me pass the time, and I will give to you summer wine.
When I woke up, the sun was shining in my eyes. My silver spurs were gone, my head fell twice its size. She took my silver spurs, a dollar and a dime, and left me craving for more summer wine. Summer wine.
Strawberries, cherries, and an angel's kiss in spring. My summer
And that, of course, was Summer Wine with Nancy Sinatra and Lee Hazelwood. Now, the ending of that is not the ending that we are going to expect with the people who are attending the Wine Country Weekend. We just liked the song, thought it was an appropriate title. There are a number of other events that we can talk about here as we listen to both Sondra Bernstein and Sarah Cummings filling us in on all the great details about the upcoming Wine Country Weekend. You know, you mentioned when we were off mic about the Wine Country, the winemaker dinners, lunches, and barbecues. Tell us more about that. It sounds fascinating.
Great. I'm happy to. So we had mentioned that we had our big three flagship events on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. In addition to that, wineries throughout the weekend, starting with Friday lunch, Friday dinner, Saturday dinner, and then Sunday barbecues, they're hosting individual events for like 30 guests or less at their wineries. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're literally... You can be sitting with the winemaker or winery owner at your table. They're catered by a lot of known chefs here, or if the winery has a chef, it might be that chef catering, but they're all described on our website. So they offer a really neat opportunity if you're not a crowd person and you really just want to have a special experience, you know, at a winery that is, you know, definitely unusual. Those are a great option. As I said, great chefs, great winery locations, and a lot of really fun choices.
Now, are these also the wineries that are being represented at the Wine Country Weekend itself?
Yeah. When we collect registrations from wineries, you know, every winery is in different phases of what they've got going on and how much stuff they have and what they want to do each year. So sometimes wineries will sign up for literally everything from pouring Friday night at Sondra's event at Francis Ford Coppola to pouring at Taste and then playing a big role hosting a table at the auction. Sometimes people just pick and choose, or they kind of take a year off and maybe just send some wine to donate for the auction lots. Yep. So it really varies by winery what they're doing, but they're encouraged to do anything, you know, participate in any way that works for them.
No, that makes sense. The reason I was asking is that I had this vision of people having come to the grand event and gone around and sampled a lot of different wineries that they might not have had been aware of before, and then finding the ones that they're really partial to, and then attending, you know, a winemaker lunch or dinner with that winery.
It's certainly possible. Of course, you know, most people do make those lunch and dinner plans in advance.
That's true.
Yeah.
But, you know. No, I meant the following year.
Yeah, the following year, for
definitely.
Sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I mean, just getting on a winery's wine list and knowing if they're coming to where they live. About a third of attendees live here in Sonoma County, a third are kind of greater Bay Area, and then the other third is out of state, coming
really?
From a number of states and Canada to our event, which is great. And we talk to and touch probably over 5,500 people over the whole weekend between all of the events.
I have some winery friends that have told me that the Taste of Sonoma is one of their most important events, where they connect with guests that are their best customers over the year.
Wow.
It's a chance
great.
That they really, really connect. They're people that they inevitably sign up as wine club members. And generally, that's where they meet them, and that's where relationships start. So that's a really awesome.
Yeah, they come here on a weekend or a first visit, kind of like you did. Not all of them pick up and move and change their culinary career forever.
Exactly.
But they do return, and they're loyal fans, you know, of this region and our wines. And especially, you know, when you go to Taste of Sonoma and these other things, you're face-to-face with the people that do the stuff. They make the wine. They grow the grapes. They prepare the food. They farm the food. And so, you know, not every region offers that direct contact and that we're so unpretentious here and so approachable. People love that. People love that about this place.
It's a lot like the farmer's market, where you can actually talk to the person that grew the food and find out what they did, only it's taking it one step further. Now, of course, now that we have everybody's appetite whetted for this, why don't we tell them how they can go about getting tickets?
Definitely.
And how much they cost and all that.
Okay. Well, Sonoma Wine Country Weekend, which we've mentioned a couple times, is the website. It's the source of everything. And, of course, I have materials in front of me, but I'm not going to find the one I want when you ask me that. But the prices start, I'd say $85, I think, is our least expensive ticket for a lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And our auction would be our most expensive ticket. A lot of other things are probably right in the low $100 range per person. There is a discount if you have a Visa Signature credit card. And as you guys mentioned earlier, such a great idea. If you don't know what you want to go to or
that's not your budget, volunteer. Come,
absolutely.
Because most people that do volunteer, like they all volunteer for the morning, they'll get to enjoy the event in the afternoon. You know, there's a lot of ways you don't just work, you can partake of it too. So it's a really nice way to learn
about
the event.
But the idea is that not only can you be supportive and actually contribute, but you don't have to pay lots of money to get in.
Exactly.
Now, one of the things we should probably mention, just because it is so unusual this year, is that we've been talking about Labor Day weekend, which traditionally is all in September. This year, it's not, because Labor Day, being the first Monday in September, is Monday, September 1st, which means that two-thirds of the weekend is actually in August.
Yes, right. It's been rolling that way these last few years.
Well, I wanted to bring that up, because oftentimes people will automatically think, oh, first weekend in September, and
September
then they're
6th,
unpleasantly right, surprised yes. to find out that's not the case.
Yes, and with school starting earlier and earlier, they don't necessarily know it because of that either. It used to be, you know, you always started school the day after
Labor Day
weekend.
Right. What is this August?
Right.
Those
days are
could
over.
Be earlier this year.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
and
that's
harvest
what I'm thinking.
Is running ahead. So a lot of the winemakers that participate in the event will be sort of stepping away from the crush pad for a minute to come be a part of the event. But it's nice for them all to take a break and talk to all their colleagues about how their harvests are going, and yeah. So it's great.
I'm excited to see the layout of the auction this year, because the theme is Serengeti.
You mean like the desert?
From Sonoma to Serengeti.
Mm-hmm. So
right.
I'm thinking, I could be completely wrong, but I'm thinking it's going to be Meryl Streep or Glenn Close?
Oh, like out
Meryl,
of Africa?
Like out of Africa
thing?
Meets Banana
yeah,
Republic.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Is that what it's going to look like, maybe? I don't know.
They keep things
yeah,
pretty
they do.
Close to the
they
chest
yeah.
in our, on
so
our team,
no
the people
idea.
Doing the design. Don't
yeah. I couldn't
share.
Really come up with a really Serengeti dish.
That's what I want to know. What's
I
the couldn't. Menu going to be?
I just, well,
it's usually
our menu,
8 or 9 chefs, and they all do a course or an appetizer.
It's not African.
No.
I
it's just going to be,
you know, like,
Sonoma meets
it's going to be
Serengeti.
Out of the garden.
Well, you know, it sounds to me as though what we're really saying is that in order to see what the design and what the menu and what the music and what all
yeah,
of these other offerings
go.
Are going to be, you just have to
you
go.
You just have
yeah.
to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And once again, the way that you can get tickets was SonomaWineCountryWeekend.com.
You got it.
And the volunteers are welcome. On the website, there's a place where you can click on volunteer, and it will show you the different tasks, the different shifts, the different jobs.
I think
probably
auction items are online, I believe.
Yeah, actually, you know what? I should have brought that up. That's another way to participate. We do have an online auction. It's just going live.
Yeah, it's not
And it usually
yet.
Runs through Sonoma Wine Country Weekend and then a week after. But if you go to the website, you should be able to see a place to click and join in on the online auction. And wineries have been extremely generous with amazing experiences and special release bottles and all kinds of things in conjunction with other local businesses, restaurants, and things. So some really great goodies available there. And again, that all comes back to our community through all the nonprofits we support.
Which is really great, because there are probably a lot of Sonoma County expatriates, for one word or another, you know, occupationally or mm-hmm. family necessities or whatever, who have the opportunity to participate by simply logging in and going to the website.
Exactly.
And getting a taste of home, as it
That's
were.
That's right.
Right.
Well, we want to thank you both very much, and we've got a few more minutes, so what I'd like to do is just give each of you the opportunity to let our audience know of anything that you think they ought to know, even if you've already said it. If you think it's worth repeating, this is your chance, or if you think of something that you hadn't included before, the floor is yours.
Oh, my goodness.
I was just going to say it's very exciting. Chuck Williams from Williams-Sonoma is turning 99 years old.
Oh, my word.
October 2nd, and Williams-Sonoma is reopening in Sonoma. The original Williams-Sonoma store is coming back, and they have That's been working amazing. Diligently in Sonoma. They are actually opening a little museum store
wow.
with the original pieces that he brought to the country from France and his little finds. And he's in pretty good health, and they're hoping to have a little birthday party for him. And then they're going to do a big opening. It's not a big store. It'll be a little retail, little cooking school with hands-on 12 stations, and then visiting chefs from all over the world where they can stay overnight. And it's really exciting. I'm very excited for Sonoma to have it come home.
Yes, wow. It's exciting. It's really coming to exciting. Sonoma. I think a lot of people that walk by that store name or get that catalog have no idea.
It's the only Williams-Sonoma in wine country.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is pretty amazing. They have over 250 stores.
Oh, I have to tell you, I at one point in my life, about 30 years ago or so, I had moved from the Bay Area to Seattle. And I was devoutly grateful that Williams-Sonoma had a mail order catalog, because at the time, Seattle, well, Sur La Table wasn't there. And I mean, there wasn't really much of anything. And I still have the bread knife that I ordered from Williams-Sonoma.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it has electrical tape around the handle because it's kind of warping and everything. But it's because I put it in the dishwasher. Don't do that.
Yeah,
but
don't do that.
I still use that bread knife. I still use the tomato knife that I got from the same place. Oh, yeah. I loved Williams-Sonoma. I'm so glad to hear he's coming back.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
That's exciting.
Sarah, how about you?
Gosh, well, I think we've done a great job talking about all that Sonoma Wine Country Weekend does for the community and what a special experience it is celebrating the amazing wine we have here, all the amazing people who make the amazing wine and food and grow everything that makes it all possible. The beauty of the event is you can come to one thing, you can make a weekend of it, you can do whatever you want, but it's a great chance to learn more about this great place that we're all fortunate enough to live in, for
and
sure.
And it's always on Labor Day weekend, so if for some reason your calendar doesn't lend itself to participating this year, keep in mind that there's always next year.
That's
you can
right.
start thinking, budgeting, planning.
Yep, and then there's the online auction. Unless we can, glad you brought up.
Unless we can coerce them to change it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there is that.
We may go on strike next year.
Yeah, there's always that discussion. It's a blessing and a curse, exactly, as I like to say.
Exactly.
Well, I want to thank you both very much, Sandra Bernstein from The Girl in the Fig and Sarah Cummings from wearing a multiplicity of hats, most specifically Director of Communications for Sonoma County Vintners, there we go, as well as for the event itself, Sonoma
right.
Country, Sonoma County Wine Country Weekend. Blah, blah, blah. I can really talk. Yes, I can. And, of course, to our engineer, Mike Young, who, by the way, set an excellent example for everybody by signing up as a volunteer.
That's
good job, Mike.
Yeah.
Yay.
All you have to do is go to SonomaWineCountryWeekend.org, click on volunteer, and the future is yours.
That's right.
So thank you very much,
thank
both,
you.
Once again. Thanks for joining us here. And be sure and tune in again next week at 7 o'clock for Wine Country, Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour.
Story. Well, children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough.
Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour, is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan, who also selects Mouthful's music. Live episodes are engineered by Michael Young and occasionally by Mary Moore Campagna. Mark Fuller is Mouthful's recording and post-production engineer. Podcasts are available at iTunes and krcb.org. For more information, to suggest a guest, and to find out how to be a guest yourself, email catsmilk@sonic.net or send a message via Mouthful's Facebook page.
Got some beans and good cornbread.
Listen to what the preacher said.
To the Lord, praise his name.